Several popular video streaming platforms in China have been criticized for promoting teenage pregnancy after an investigation by China Central Television found videos of hundreds of pregnant teenagers and teen moms online. Well, here, first of all, Lai Ming,
yes?
I need to ask you this.
Okay.
Have you seen these videos? And are they getting lots of views and clicks?
Well, I haven't seen those videos in the sense that I didn't really see a full length of that. But I certainly have noticed a surge in the number of these videos coming up on these platforms. And really, this reminds me of a term like sensational journalism.
Yes.
I think this refers to the type of reporting that sort of appeals to people's interest in sensational stories, the bizarre, the grotesque. And it seems nowadays with the introduction or the advent of information technology and these video streaming websites, it seems news organizations are not the only media agents that are producing these videos or contents, and seems these video streaming websites are becoming also another source that would feed the people or the viewers of these sensational contents. For instance, let me give you an example. On these on one of the video platform streaming platforms like Kuaishou, a 19-year-old girl named Yang Qingning is one of the most popular internet celebrity in Kuaishou.com and one Chinese live streaming platform, and the girl gave birth to a child at 18. She and her child's father now have 45 million followers, and also a live streaming of the couple with the one-year-old child can receive 2.8 million likes. And after she was pregnant, some other internet celebrities aged 17 and 18 also announced that they were pregnant on live streaming platforms, making early pregnancy a fashion on those platforms. And there's also a 17-year-old mother who had given birth to two kids. She has 50,000 followers on a live streaming platform, and the young mother continued to highlight that she gave birth to more than one kid and became an underage mother on the cover of each of her video. It's almost like those people are very proud of themselves being mothers at this young age when they are teenagers. And I doubt this has any positive influence on those who view those contents.
But why is there any backlash against the platform exactly? Just because, you know, I think anyone could get on these platforms and stream whatever they want to. So as long as the platform denies anything violent or against the law, why is this an issue of concern specifically?
First of all, I don't quite agree that everyone should upload everything they like to these platforms, but we'll come to that part later. What exactly to blame about this platform is maybe lies in the technology that they use to sort of. I think this concept is very popular in China's internet industry. For instance, the concept of popularizing or feeding you with similar contents once you've just finished watching one of these videos. So the thing with these platforms is they employ or adopt some kind of algorithm to identify user behaviors. And once a user has seen or finished watching one of these videos about teenage mothers, they would use that algorithm to push more of those videos to you. And in some cases, not just those kids, I mean Yang Qingning or other mothers at the age of 17. In some cases, we are talking about young girls at the age of 14 bragging about themselves being mothers to be mother of a baby.
Yeah. Actually, here's a few things that I think we need to clarify. First of all, I think the controversy here and why does it touch that sensitive nerve for a lot of viewers or those who've simply just looked at the investigation report that was published by CCTV is that this is kind of going against Chinese law. When you have babies, supposedly, you need to get married first. And in China, according to our marriage law, men under the age of 22 and women under the age of 20 are not supposed to marry. You haven't reached the marriageable and eligible age. So here is the bit that, people say, okay, is this kind of a gray area that although, you know, marriage put aside, but you're not supposed to be doing this and publicizing it.
But is it, it's not against the law to have a baby out of wedlock in China, right?
It's
no, that's
not.
But when you are 14 and you're pregnant, that implies you already had sexual intercourse with someone. And this is wrong.
Yes.
And this is against the law in China.
And in fact, I believe that China's criminal law says that any sexual relations with a girl under the age of 14 is rape, no matter if she consents or not, right?
Yeah, that's true.
But that really gray area being 15 to 20, 21 before you can get married, you know, there's no law against it specifically. So is this, I mean, what has the app done? Why are people really getting on the app rather than general education or even the laws, amending these laws?
Well, this platform, first of all, we just introduced the part about this algorithm pushing those similar contents.
And this platform is called Kuaishou, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, Kuaishou platform. And also, for those who have a little understanding about China's internet industry, they would know that a lot of the users of these popular video streaming websites, those users are mostly young people, probably young people, teenagers possibly, and those are the people, we don't want them overly exposed to the concept of being pregnant early on in their age before they can afford to bring up a child or take on the responsibilities.
Well, actually here, that is a very good point. And I think people kind of hold different views as well. Because when it comes to information on the internet, the very fundamental idea or a advantage that people used to hail of the internet is it being a platform that anybody can have a voice, especially giving the voiceless a voice, and that freedom, sort of empowerment. And here, I think we need to look a little bit more specifically at Kuaishou, this app, and I think most people use it on their smartphones, as it has been seen as the fourth largest social media platform in China. So it's huge, and it's been known for capturing the user base of those mostly out of the first-tier cities.
Yeah, I think the demographics of Kuaishou users, I think out of these all the users, those from first and second-tier cities accounts for slightly more than 30%. And so we can tell that the rest are all mostly from smaller cities or smaller towns, even.
Yeah, and it's also interesting when you look at the makeup of China's population. That is, according to the national census in 2010, more than 620 million of the Chinese population lives in the rural areas. So when you look at the news or media reports, so much media attention is focused on city life and folks who live in cities. But when you look at half of the Chinese population, if not a little bit more, are actually those who live in rural areas, don't get a lot of that attention and focus. And now here's this massive app with such a huge untapped user base. And here's the beauty of the internet. Everybody can upload their stuff.
Yeah.
And I think it kind of makes some people, maybe the city folks a little bit more, uncomfortable when you see all this content that previously, I guess, we just never had the conduit to see it.
And that's a really good point. Is this really something out of the ordinary, or is just the Kuaishou app giving people who used to not have a voice, giving them a voice to speak out and tell us about what their lives are really like. Have we been sheltered too much that we haven't seen these social problems before?
That is a very good question. I've been living in big cities since I graduated from middle school and went to study in Shanghai and then later on in Beijing and then settled down in Beijing. It's been more than 10 years now, and I imagine that, I've been grown used to the life in big cities. But still, I'm from a small place in China, and it's a rural area of the country. And based on my observation back in my younger years, I don't believe that's the commonplace for people or that's not the common lifestyle in rural areas. But yes, there is a tendency, or at least the mentality behind some people that are still living in rural areas, in the sense that sometimes they don't have high hopes on their kids in terms of education. A lot of my classmates in junior middle school, they have already decided, even though they were still in school, they've already decided that once upon graduation, they're going to go work as a migrant worker in Guangzhou, which is a neighboring, the biggest neighboring city next to Jiangxi province. And that was the case. And also, a lot of the parents of these young kids, they believe that when you don't have a shot in terms of education, you can't make a career out of getting better educated, then you might as well make better use of your time. And then sometimes the next urgent thing on your life's agenda is to get married and have kids. And yes, there is that general tendency to push the young kids to settle down and start a family at an early age. But I would say that to push those young kids to have sexual intercourses and give birth to young babies, that is not the case. That certainly is not the case. And the fact that we are seeing these popular videos on Kuaishou has a lot more to do with the algorithm than with the reality of the lifestyle in rural China.
Well, I have to say that actually Kuaishou seems to be really working with, you know, there is a general idea of social responsibility here on the app's part because it apologized to users, correct? Right?
Yes.
I've heard that it apologized to users who had been influenced by those videos. It had checked and deleted hundreds of such videos and banned some of the accounts that they believed have caused bad social influence, and they have turned off the recommendation function, which would recommend similar videos. And I don't know if that is exactly for all videos, the entire recommendation function, or just for that specific topic. And also they have promised to cooperate with other departments to promote the job of caring for teenagers and promote core values. And also, you know, they've asked users to supervise the platform themselves, and they've provided a hotline and two email addresses for users to report such cases to protect their own rights.
Yeah.
So really, it seems like the app is really kind of cooperating here.
Yeah, and actually, this has been the most recent round of, I suppose, the criticism that's been aimed at the app, because the algorithm that Lai Ming has been talking about, it used to be like a selling point for this app because its founders are programmers, and they have actually been very active in promoting that on our app, only the things that you have viewed, that you've shown interest in, that you've searched for, will be curated and provided for you. But now it seems like this core function is receiving some backlash. And if it's shut down, or if that function is being turned off, then I wonder if this app is changing something very fundamental, or it's known for?
Well, I think the algorithm certainly is a very powerful one, in the sense that it has been able to attract users to sort of glued to the platform, to these Kuaishou.com. I mean, I've read about stories about how young people or just general users being glued to that platform for hours nonstop, which is impressive because Kuaishou.com is known as a platform that features short videos that don't last long, that last about 1 minute. That's one of those long ones. So for somebody to be glued or be attracted, lured by these platform and watch this for hours nonstop, I mean, so that proves how effective it is for the algorithm to identify what you like to watch. But certainly, well, there are also some people who are saying that, well, probably technology is neutral in this regard, which, well, it's not us doing anything wrong about the content on our platform. It's just technology. We should certainly just blame the technology. But coming from I think those companies or these video streaming platforms, they are also a member of the society. And then when some of the contents on your platform, they are hurting or at least misdirecting young people, and I think there's certain responsibility that you have to assume that there's something you have to be done that has to be done to that algorithm.
Well, there is a question here. That is it really hurting people, or is it really misguiding some young people? Because here, I mean, there could be that, you know, egg or chicken, which came first kind of paradox here. That is, and here's the part that I think there needs to be so much more studies devoted to, is it that there are a lot more teenage pregnancies in these remote areas than one would have expected, and now it's just being shown on a platform. It grew organically, but the social media platforms or Kuaishou app merely became a window to showcase that, or is it that these platforms are encouraging people that, oh, this, somebody else is doing this and it looks fun or fantastic and I should follow suit. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think studies really should be done to see after these apps have been influencing, you know, out there, these reports about this teen pregnancy on Kuaishou have come out. I'm wondering if teen birth rates will go up in the future. And I think it's interesting, back to the point about algorithms, it's interesting that we talked about that because this isn't something just centered on Kuaishou, right?
No.
There are apps and, for example, Facebook and things all over the world where they're being judged for their algorithm that is feeding people something and only one thing that they're particularly interested in, which can skew their entire view of the world. So on Facebook, it's the U.S. election of President Donald Trump.
So once you've seen a story about a fake news, you get more fake stories.
Yes, or not even fake news, but if you just get one piece of news about one topic, you're going to see so much news about that one topic, and it might skew your world vision a little bit. So I think it's a combination of both, you know, the app and their algorithm, maybe possibly influencing society in a poor way, and also specifically this topic of, you know, what is not exactly illegal but shouldn't really be allowed, right?
Yeah, and here, should it be allowed, or to what extent should it be allowed?
Well, I'm saying, well, this is a question about should we face up to the ugly truth about life. But I believe this, by taking an action, you are making a demonstration, you are changing the world. And for these platforms to promote, or at least to showcase these videos, they are doing something. They're promoting this culture, or promoting this lifestyle, or having babies early, too early on in their lives. I believe that's not something that we should do. But also, on the other hand, should anything be done about it? I mean, certainly the platform should try and improve the algorithm a little bit and try and stop these unhealthy content being promoted across the board. But on the other hand, should we also do something about the fact that many young teenage girls are having babies way too early in their lives?
Well, that's also an interesting
that's about,
fact.
That's more about addressing the issue at its root.
Yeah, and also I think what I appreciate of these platforms is it offers you that window to look at Chinese society, that those live in first-tier cities like myself in Beijing, I feel I'm so tunnel-visioned. I did not know that there is this world that almost seems to independently exist next to the one that we are so used to in big cities, that there doesn't seem to be much of a crossover until the video is shown on these video websites. I'll give you a few examples, like the ones that we've talked about, the early pregnancy, and actually some people say that for the rural lifestyle, this is not uncommon, and this is actually simply just a honest depiction of real life, because people get married a lot younger in Chinese rural areas, and considering that there is a massive gender imbalance in the rural areas more than in city, where there's more boys, less girls, and then actually having a wife earlier or as early as possible.
It's a privilege.
Yes, and that's something that people want to do. So there is actually the real necessity to some extent that some people deem. So with these things in mind, and also the rural life that I've seen on these social media apps, that sometimes it's people blowing up firecrackers in their pants.
Yeah, and, I've seen that.
And we've talked about on the show before as well, putting like 100, I don't know if people do that, of cigarettes in their nostrils and smoking using their nostrils, just things that are outrageous. But these are the things that are shown and get the clicks.
Because they're a novelty, right? They're exactly what someone else wants to see, someone that they, you know, I've never seen before. It looks so amazing. And these people who are doing it are so excited that people are paying attention to them, right?
I think we started off early on the show saying that this isn't only a sensational part of our life. This does not reflect how our people living in rural areas live their lives. So you gotta be careful.
Exactly.
He Yang lived as a city girl growing up in big cities. What you see on these video streaming websites are not necessarily the whole picture of how these people live their lives. And you must be very careful not be misled by those platforms. See, even well-educated women growing up in big cities, they are being misguided by these videos. Imagine how much damage they could do to other people who are not so discerning.
Well, certainly when you look at the situation here, it's a tough one to even think about how to filter, and where do you stop with the filters? And when you see what you see is simply one thing you need to keep in mind, that is, it is not the whole world. It's only one leaf in the whole world.
That's and true.
Maybe that's just one thing we have to keep in mind in this age of the internet.